Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
SEN Test Cricket for Host Plus, all wrapped up here at the Basin Reserve in Wellington, Australia, victorious by 172 runs. New Zealand dismissed for 196. Their target was 369. They lost 7 for 85 today. That partnership between Ravindra and Mitchell was crucial, but Lyon broke that up after changing ends, took 3 for 2 in a hurry, finishes with a 6-wicket bag and 10 for the match. Australia, too good when it mattered most.
Look, I spoke a lot about romance and how we could sit and dream about what could happen. I don't even think we got past the first date, so we can't even deem this to be a heartbreak. And look, we've been here so many times, Adam, around the world, where you think a run chase is possible, but all it takes is that for that one partnership to be broken and it's all over. And look, as well as Rachin Ravindra batted, he would be a little disappointed with the way he got out. The field was set for that dismissal, and yep, it took Nathan Lyon just 3 balls after, like you said, he had swapped ends. And then Tom Blundell in the same over as well, pretty similar to the way he got out in the first innings. From that point on, you knew there was only one way this game was going. Glenn Phillips could have entertained us, but once he got out, LBW once again to Nathan Lyon. How many times have we seen him do that from around the wicket? It was game over.
6 for 65 for Lyon in the second inning, so he's 24th fifer in Test cricket. He's gone past Courtney Walsh this week, 6th of all time, 36 years of age. His bowling average hasn't been this low for a dozen years. He really has never been better. Any other Test match, if not for Cameron Green, he would have been player of the match when you combine that with him top scoring as night watchman in the second dig.
You know, there was a period 3-4 years ago where Nathan Lyon on the last day or in the fourth innings was becoming like not an issue, but like he was getting frustrated by it. There were a few handful of matches where he couldn't see Australia over the line. I think that's a thing of the past. Ever since he won them that series in Lahore, or the series in Pakistan, yeah, at Lahore, he's been doing this so consistently. We've seen it across two home summers, but this was, it was like you knew you were attending a Nathan Lyon concert once Glenn Phillips took the 5 wickets yesterday. Oh, and what a show he's put on for us. He was quite brilliant yesterday, but today he was just unstoppable. And like you said, he's got many years left. That dreamy number of Shane Warne, maybe still a fair way to go, but it's not improbable that he'll get there.
Yeah, within striking distance, the way that he's bowling at the moment at 36 years of age. Cameron Green reminded us of what he can do with the ball as well. Comes into the attack and bowls an absolute snorter to get rid of Kugler. Not that it mattered in the context of the game, but after that astonishing performance with the bat, batting with the lower order, batting for so long with Josh Hazlewood, that was the defining passage of the match.
It was, and look, that's the thing, right? You forget the fact that Cam Green also triples up as the arguably the best gully fielder you've ever seen, and bowling at 140 plus clicks and like getting balls to bounce and get into awkward areas for the batters. He needed an innings like this, right? Not only a match winning innings, it's not even a coming of age innings, it's basically an innings where he'll tell himself, I can boss the game at test level the way I've been doing it at Shield level, and in high difficulties as well, or difficulty ratio as well, in terms of the conditions and where Australia were. He batted through the difficult period, and then obviously that 10th wicket partnership with Josh Hazlewood to set the game up. And look, we spoke about the mental block, the psychological effect that 30 years of not winning at all, just winning once against Australia, has on New Zealand. And you just have to look at the scorecard. Both times failing to make 200 runs. considering the fact that they've come into the series with a lot of their batters in really good form, it just tells you everything you need to know about New Zealand-Australia rivalry.
It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon here in Wellington as well. It was a packed house. A shame I only got to watch one session of cricket. Australia also retaining the Trans-Tasman trophy by dint of the fact that it's only a two-test series, which we absolutely hate. The sooner we get rid of these, the better. New Zealand have pride to play for and the chance to square it in 4 days' time at Christchurch. We start again on Friday. How they bounce back is, I suppose, a matter for them, but the obvious area for growth is Kane Williamson missing out in both innings.
Yeah, and that's it tells you how much it impacted them, right? Like, the run out in the first innings, yes, but just the way he got out yesterday, like with the Ravindra dismissal, you could see what Nathan Lyon was doing to him. He telegraphed the way he was going to get him out, and he got him out. And, like, his record against Australia has really plummeted in the last two series, or last four or five test matches he's played against them, which is not a great sign. And you just hit the nail on the head. If New Zealand have to bounce back, yes, they'll have to find the right combination, but they need Kane Williamson to like inspire them, to motivate them, because now they spoke a lot about Daryl Mitchell and Rachin Ravindra having never played against Australia. Now even they carry the baggage of having suffered a really heavy defeat against them.
Alright, thank you, Brett. Off to Christchurch we go. Australia 1-0 up in the series. They retain the trophy, victorious here by 172 runs. All that coverage after play for Host Plus. Talk to you in a couple of days.
Smith on the move, drives through mid-off, struck it lovely, and it'll roll to the boundary for four. Tim Southey is bowling from the scoreboard end. Khawaja pulls him into the deep, and he'll pick up a boundary as it races through backward square. The line to Khawaja, who plays away from his body, out through backward points. Lent on it, timed it beautifully.
From over the wicket bowling to Smith, who's edging, taken in front of first slip. That's a very good catch by Tom Rundle. Diving away, and there is the breakthrough they have been so desperately searching for.
Passes umpire, Gough and bowls and head. Pushes at one, he's nicked it, he's caught behind for one. O'Rourke is in the book at the perfect time.
Henry bowls to him, Green shuffles forward again and finds the gap at mid-wicket. Lovely shot, perfect timing, that's a boundary.
Delivers to Marsh, does, steered through the cordon for more.
Line delivers, and Marsh on the back foot plays him through cover and picks up the boundary. Mitchell bowls to Green, lifts him up over the leg side, gave that a proper clout out to mid-wickets. One bounce over the fence for four.
Cougar line bowling fuller this time, a beautiful stroke through straight mid-on, leaning on the ball, not over-hitting. Here's Henry in bright sunshine as it's pulled top edge, straight up, should be taken as by the keeper, and Matt Henry gets more rewards. He now has three. Cougar line getting back up. Henry as he starts from the Adelaide Road in. Sweet looking drive by Green as he beats cover.
Over the wicket to Carey, who smacks him straight to cover. Oh, that's a soft dismissal. Carey trying to load up on the cover drive has found the former captain Williamson. That is catching practice.
O'Rourke bowls to him. Green cuts. That's goal for Cam Green. He cuts the boundary and brings up his century. O'Rourke delivers, Green backs away, swings up to deep mid-wickets, and bang, it carries again. Don't worry about the single. Take it in sixes. 150 up from Cam Green.
Only with a bit of anger as Cougar line, but hitting it with even more as Green murders it backward of square. All the way.
Just up, Hazelwood drives on the up to mid-off, and that is the end. Finally, New Zealand pick up the final Australian wicket. Matt Henry gets his fifth. Australia all out for 383. Cummins, outside edge, removes Mitchell the very next ball. Carey takes the catch, diving away to his rights, and the captain has his instant revenge. Marsh, first ball of the fresh over to Young. It's down the leg side. Carey's pulled it in, he's out! Phillips high back lift, slashing at a ball outside off stump, top edge, down the third for four. Take them however you can get them at the moment.
Henry to finish the over, and Khawaja driving through the offside, as he did here so often 8 years ago.
Working away the spinner for New Zealand. Khawaja dances down the pitch and he stumps. Phillips gets his man.
Has he?
Oh,
I
well,
think he's got back.
We're going to go upstairs.
I think he's got back.
Okay.
Bails up, yep.
Good work, Blundell.
Well done, he brought it a long way back.
In short, and it's an uppishly just to the left of a diving Tom Latham, who's on the bounce, parked it, hits the round of applause.
Over the wicket.
Short, and it's pulled high, deep square leg, just looks to his left and sees the ball sailing a couple of rows in front of the upfield.
It's an edge taken at second slip. Nine down. Cummins goes. Third time's a charm, right? Caught at second slip. Comfortably so by Latham. Over the wicket from the Vance stand in.
Oh.
And ball! Top of middle stump. Matt Henry cleans up the tail. Australia bowled out for 164. New Zealand require 369 for a rather unlikely test victory at the Basin Reserve.
Stark, he's bowling from down below us. The let's fly, and Young runs the ball forward of gully. Green sets off in pursuit. It scurries across the turf and gets to the rope for four. Hazelwood has Latham to aim up at. Down the leg side and turn fine for four. A lovely glance. Forward point is Green as Latham's back and cutting, and he's out. Oh dear. Lyon strikes with his second ball.
Fuller.
Itching.
Straight to leg slip. Fantastic cricket, Australia. Steve Smith round the corner.
Up the right shoulder. Gobbled up by Smith.
Hazelwood to Mitchell. Top edge flies up. Hazelwood takes the catch. And Australia win the test in Wellington. The Trans-Tasman trophy is retained. The ruthless streak in this bowling attack, led by Nathan Lyon, has secured victory for Australia. And hope was all New Zealand had at the start of the day, and hope was extinguished inside 2 hours. The margin of victory will be 172 runs. Ian Smith.
Demoralising from New Zealand's point of view. They did enough in this test match in certain areas to put it really on Australia. I talked about it earlier this morning. Australian batting, apart from Cameron Green, was pretty meek. 175 runs collectively. If you take and you go down as far as Kerry and you take out Green, that's all they managed in 12 innings. And that, in any normal course of events, should give you a really big chance of beating Australia. It really should. But the problem is, that was countered by New Zealand's ineptness with the bat against a very good Australian side. And so you can take the batting out of it as well. It really did balance each other out, apart from Cameron Green, who will be player of this test match without doubt. Look, Nathan Lyon, classy, absolutely classy. Give him the conditions, he's going to be so threatening. And New Zealand's technique at times against him was not confident enough to defend, so we'll hit. He set a field back, and a number of players succumbed to that over the course of both innings. A side well led by Pat Cummins. He has so many resources available to him in the bowling side of things that he feels comfortable that he can play the waiting game. And in all honesty, it's no secret that Australia are the best cricket side in the world on pretty much all conditions. It's because they got the best players. And they weren't at their peak in this test match. A lot of them weren't at their peak in this test match, which is the worrying thing from New Zealand's point of view, as the players now in their traditional lines shake each other's hands. And, you know, I just think good test by the umpires, actually. No controversy as such. So it was a good test match. But New Zealand have a lot more questions now to answer, particularly with fit players, available players, options, etc. Jeremy, I know you're going to come in now as well. I'm not. You know, you normally get to the end of a season, you don't have this many questions. But I started Tom Latham, and I worked my way down, and I can put question marks against a lot of players.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, you know, thoroughly professional performance right from the prior to the day's play, where you can see the Australians getting ready to play and keep their standards very high. Emphatic victory over, what, three days and one session, really. Wasn't pure, as you say, in the sense that not as many runs as you would expect coming from the top order and the places you might expect on a pitch that nibbled on certainly the first day, 9 for 270-odd. And then the 10th wicket, of course, extending that to 380 of a partnership of 116. Engineered mainly by Cam Green, who was batting most of day one and then into day two, got to 174, stood out like a beacon, really. And then New Zealand at the crease were 5 for 29 very quickly, counter-punched a bit with Phillips and Blundell, but, you know, four quick wickets as soon as Lyon came to the bowling crease. And so they had, quite a deficit. Australian third innings was really quite a bit messy, wasn't it? Again, the top order was removed quite quickly. But the damage had been done, really, and in the first innings of 383. So 370 for New Zealand to chase. While there was a little hope while Ravindra and Mitchell were there at the end of day three, and it was only 113 for three, a little bit of hope. But I think 7 for 59 in the first session. Today's play, again, Nathan Lyon controlling things completely from his end of the ground. So thoroughly good performance and well done, Australia.
We're about to hear from Cam Green. He made 174 not out in the first innings, and the margin of victory was 172 runs. So that seems to settle it rather neatly with the bare mathematics of it. And he's about to be interviewed as part of the television coverage. It's such a beacon moment in Green's career. And one that will be talked about, I'm sure, for the duration of his playing days. One that will be so fondly thought of in what he was able to achieve. So the presentations, Daniel McCarty is downstairs with the All Blacks, and Adam Collins and Bharat Sundaresan with the Australians. So we're going to share all of this with you in the coming minutes. We'll stay together for an hour to dissect it all. So we'll go through to 2 o'clock local.
M. Green, congratulations. 174, not out. It was a heck of an innings from you. Set up this test for Australia. How did you feel after that kind of knock, Cam?
It's always a good feeling. It was a bit of a tough wicket day one and kind of stayed like that for the whole game. So, it was a nice win.
You've announced yourself to New Zealand audiences for sure. This test match had its moments for both sides, but ultimately that stand with Josh Hazlewood, and I thought Josh batted brilliantly too. What were you talking about while you were out there?
Yeah, I think we kept it pretty simple. I think it's always nice having an experienced head out there. I think he's been in those situations before and had pretty good partnerships in the 10th wicket before. So, it's always nice for an experienced guy at the other end.
Got a great travelling group of fans here as well. They appreciated your work out there across this test match, and then getting to have a bowl and taking a poll today as well. That must have been a good feeling, Cam.
Yeah, it's always nice to top off the week with that. I think it was a beautiful bowling innings from us. I think Gary bowled beautiful on the last day. He's always under pressure in the fourth innings, and he always seems to stand up and perform. So, he bowled beautifully.
Yeah, this test match, but for you, setting up that victory with 174, congratulations, our ANZ player of the match, Cam Green.
Thank you. Cheers.
That is Cam Green, the player of the match. His 174 not out, and he was the pick of the batters in the second innings as well, as he made his 34, and it took a nice piece of bowling and a great catch to remove him there. So the 200-plus that he posted becomes a big moment in his career. And we'll just keep an eye on things down below us to see what happens next. We'll get a word from inside the Black Caps camp by the look of it. Here's Tim Southey.
There were periods in that test match where you were getting on top, so plenty to think about heading into the next one.
Yeah, like every game, we'll reflect and look at ways that we can be better in the next one.
Selections, I guess they're going to be a talking point heading into the next test, but for this particular test, you felt you got it right?
We obviously didn't think it was going to turn as much as what it did, and having those two guys in the top seven obviously gives you that option if it does turn, which we saw the ability for Glenn to be able to come into the game like he did yesterday, and give us that option with the ball if it is turning a little bit.
Two very special performances from two bowlers, Matt Henry with a fifer, Glenn Phillips with his first fifer as well. So there are positives to take out of this result.
Yeah, those two had great weeks, not only with the ball, but obviously contributed with the bat. Matt's 40-odd in the first innings, and Glenn's 70-odd in the first innings as well. So, Glenn's still new to test cricket and new to bowling, and he's doing a great job. Those two have had very good weeks.
Had a wonderful crowd here over the last 3.5 days too, Tim. What would you say to the fans who have turned out en masse here at the Basin Reserve?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's always nice to play in front of good crowds, and it's been as good as I can remember here at the Basin Reserve. So, it's obviously a disappointing result, but great to see the fans coming through and getting behind us.
Give us an inkling into what will happen over the coming days for this side, and what's the biggest thing you'll be thinking about?
Yeah, we'll reflect on this. We'll debrief it and obviously move to a ground, a different ground, different surface, a ground that we've had a lot of success at. So, yeah, we'll prepare, obviously, in Christchurch, but we have a couple of days here to reflect on this week.
All right. Love your time, mate. Thanks.
Thanks, Simon.
So that's Tim Southey, the New Zealand captain, and he'll trade places with Pat Cummins. Another victory for Australia.
Thank you. Congratulations, 1-0 up in the series. And it was just an all-round good performance from your side, wasn't it?
Yeah, had our moments. It was a really good game overall, I think. Never felt like we were too far in front on that wicket. But, yeah, overall really happy.
Yeah, the wicket's an interesting one. I think it confounded a few of those pundits early and how much turn it took and the work of Nathan Lyon, then, of course, Glenn Phillips as well. Were you surprised at the turn and bounce here?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, first of all, seeing how green it is. It was really bouncy. It actually had a bit of pace in it, but as much bounce as I've seen on any wicket for a long time. And then, yeah, thankfully spun, which with Nathan in our side, it's always a pretty good thing.
Cam Green, a word on him, a player of the match performance from a young man who's finding his way into this side. What did you make of what was a very special knock?
Yeah, he was amazing. He was really the difference in the end. You know, you look at the trend of the game, I think the next highest score was about 50 or 60, and he's obviously put on 170 odd, not out. So it was amazing. I thought the way he went about it as well, that intent, really put the pressure back on the bowlers on day one.
It feels like this test match is over far too soon, but probably not for you guys. You've enjoyed this victory. But how much of a challenge is that New Zealand side to face? What do they bring to the contest for you?
I think no matter what format, they've got a heap of match winners. It always seems like you look down the order and they've all, on their day, can take the game away from you. So a lot of experience. Obviously, next week, a couple of them are playing their 100th test as well. So, can't take them too lightly.
A couple of days off now just to maybe relax and get the bodies right for the next challenge?
Yeah, that's right. Pretty quick turnaround. I think it's 4 days now. So, enjoy this win, but pretty chilled.
Got a great bunch following you around, mention them to Cam as well, but these fans who track you around the world, they're always entertaining, and you've certainly entertained them this week, haven't you?
Yeah, they're great. Plenty of Aussie shirts around the stadium. Even the Kiwi fans we've met over here so far have been fantastic. I've seen a few Bucks parties as well flying over from Australia. Been nice and rowdy, but it's been, fans here all week have been awesome.
All right, mate. We look forward to seeing you in Christchurch. Congratulations. A win by 172 runs, 1-0 up in the series. Pat Cummins, everyone.
Thank you. Tough.
Australian captain Pat Cummins, Adam Collins and Barrett Sundaresan downstairs with Nathan Lyon.
Nathan Lyon with us down at the side of the pitch. A 10-wicket game, back-to-back 10-wicket games against New Zealand with this 5 years or thereabouts in between. You must be thrilled about the way you bowled today. Change of ends and changed again. 3 wickets in 2 overs and broke the game open.
Thanks, Collar. Pretty happy with just all team round performance, to be honest with you. I was lucky enough to get the rewards today, but all in all, pretty special week.
Before we zoom out, just talk us through that change of ends this morning, deciding to bowl from the pavilion end, then going back to where you were yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't my call. That was the skipper's call. The wind suddenly picked up and come, I think it's westerly, so, and Starkey, they thought Starkey with the breeze coming in. So I was pretty quick, Smithy and I were pretty quick to say, nah, I'm going that end. You boys can push into it today.
And you were justified at what, 3 balls? Like, you got rid of Ravindra, and then from that point on, it just went that way.
It was interesting. Coming and trying a couple of different plans with the amount of bounce and the amount of spin that we had out there, and the challenge of trying to find the stumps as well. So it was good fun, it's good challenge, and it was good problem solving.
You said when you spoke to us, Nathan, a couple of days ago that you were desperate to bowl on that pitch. You weren't very happy with the way it gone in the first take. Did you take a while to get settled in as well in the second innings?
I put it down. I was talking to Dan Vittori a bit here, and he obviously said he bowled a lot from the far end as well. And he said it actually takes a couple of overs just to adjust to the wind, because it can be gusty, it can be quite strong. And I know it sounds weird or probably whinging a little bit, but it wind can put you off, and especially when you're in your load up and everything like that. So just took me a little bit, but we expected that, and we just tried to adjust to it.
You said the wind took away your hair last time anyway, so the wind has not been your friend. But just with the bat as well, I mean, it's not every day that you've top scored for Australia, batting at number 4, and just falling short
of that. Sounds good,
that
number 4.
Yeah, and just falling short of that 50 that we're all waiting to see from you.
No, I think we'll be waiting for a 50, but that's my second time top scoring and last, so let's hope so.
And the other time, a fairly infamous test match where you bowled out for Sod Ol down in Cape Town, but you know, you top scored in the second innings and picked up 10 wickets here in ordinary circumstances. You're probably with the player of the match. Instead, it's Cameron Green for an extraordinary performance in the first innings. As a senior player, watching him mature and assert himself on the team initially and now on world cricket, you must be chuffed.
Oh, over the moon, and absolutely over the moon for Greeny, and I honestly think he deserves the man of the match, and I'm over the moon for him because the way he's obviously had a bit of pressure on coming number four and hadn't had the runs that he would like, but he went back to Shield, he scored 100 for the WA batting four, and he's come out here and showed a class when we were in trouble. All in all, I'm over the moon for Cameron, and hopefully he can take a lot of confidence out of this moving forward.
527 test wickets for you now, 36 years of age. You overtook Courtney Walsh this week. Only 5 men in test cricket have taken more than you. I know you don't like to talk about your own rookie to performances and all the rest of it, but I mean, you must feel at the moment like you've got years and years left in you.
I do. Especially when you look around the playing group, and it's a bloody special team to be a part of, and I've got some of my best mates that I'll be mates for life. I'll be mates for life for everyone in that change room, but there's a couple of real special ones in there, especially within the bowling unit, and I don't know, there's definitely no end sight in my cricket. I just love playing cricket for Australia, love playing my role, and if I can keep enjoying it, then there's no reason why I'd stop.
A great many of those test matches you've had Maria Erasmus standing either at square leg or at point, and then obviously when you've been at the bowling crease, I saw you two sharing a laugh today. His final test match, some words for the retiring umpire who you spent a lot of time with.
I only found that out this morning that he'll be standing in his last test match, and I said that took me by surprise, to be honest with you, and I've got a lot of respect for the way Murray's gone about it, managing players' emotions, but also his umpiring skills. I feel like he's been one of the best over the last, especially my whole career. And I just said, thanks for just being a mate as well. I just having conversations with, and I tend to talk to probably a lot of crap to a lot of people when I'm out in the field. But Murray, he's a genuine guy. He's a nice guy. He's a brilliant umpire. And I just wished him all the best for next week.
Nathan, caught Marsh bowl lilies, quite something in the history of Australian cricket. Caught Smith bowl lions, has become quite a thing. Just what is it like when you have Steve Smith at first slip or leg slip, and you know you're bowling on a pitch like this?
You see that catch he took off Trav. As a bowler standing there, you get a lot of confidence when you look up and see what keeper you have and what guy's at first slip, because my motor dismissal was in my head and number one had probably caught slip, bowled or caught behind. So when you see Smithy there practicing non-stop and his ability to take the catches where probably 99% of people probably aren't catching them. Two stand out to me. One off me was at indoor off Pajara. Then that one today. That just shows the class of the guy. And it's been pretty remarkable, the record that keep pushing up together. Just the little partnership's pretty special.
Nathan Lyon, 10 wickets in the match. Never been better. Congratulations on retaining the Trans-Tasman Trophy. And thanks for joining us.
Too easy. Thanks, guys.
Right, so we've had Nathan Lyon to begin with. Daniel McCarty's going to join us as well before we get the chance to talk to one of the New Zealand players. Looks like it's going to be the dazzler, Darryl Mitchell, who joins us in a moment. He was the last man out today, Daniel. He put in a shift. He hung on as long as he could, but when it boils down to it, they needed to have Ravindra and Mitchell batting for multiple hours, not just for half an hour.
Oh, he's a great competitor, Darryl Mitchell. He would have loved arriving here thinking, hey, we could possibly do this. But I look back at two key little facets. New Zealand lose 3 wickets for no run in the first innings, and then today have lost 3 wickets for 2 runs. And you can't afford those little moments against such an unrelenting Australian attack who doesn't offer you too many freebies. So you've got to be able to weather those storms, and unfortunately they haven't. Just as the sun pokes out, it turns into a lovely Wellington afternoon. You know, the grey cloud that sort of hung over here is going to hang over this team, I'm sure, for a few days yet.
Yes, the banks were packed today, as they were every day. I suppose most of them will go up Adelaide Road to the festival that you've told us all about later today. But they'll have to back up in 4 days as well when we arrive in Christchurch, and to go again, having been soundly defeated. They did hang in there, but you look back at it, morning two with Josh Hazlewood batting the whole way through the session with Cameron Green. They weren't far away from this being quite a competitive test match.
211 for seven, actually, late in day number one. Yeah. I look back at that sort of last half an hour, 40 minutes, where it looks like they were quite tired, quite jaded. I know the wind, the fluctuating, gusty nature of the Wellington wind really does drain an attack in New Zealand. Look, you know, those last 10 overs leading up to the new ball, it was quite a struggle for them. And I think they'll look back at that, yes, and of course, hugely frustrating. What the most significant partnership of the game? I think the only 100-run stand of the game, which is quite unusual. So we might get Daryl Mitchell's verdict on things as he strides on in. Daryl, appreciate your time. You probably arrived here thinking the unthinkable's possible, but to be over before lunch, stating the obvious, a pretty disappointing end, fair to say.
Yeah, look, I guess we woke up this morning excited about the challenge, both firstly with me and Rutchin, to try and build a partnership. And we know, look, 360 is a tough chase on a surface like that. But at the same time, we knew if we could build some partnerships, we might try and put some pressure on them. And look, we just weren't able to do it for longer periods, and that's the nature of the game.
I've just been saying to my colleagues here, you've got to be able to weather those storms. You know, you look, like, three wickets for no runs in the first innings, three for two today. They're so good, unrelenting, those little moments where you've got to stop the bleeding, I guess.
Look, I think that was the nature of the surface more than the opposition themselves. Look, obviously they got a world-class attack, and we know that, but we were able to do it with the ball in that second innings as well. And, look, there's key moments we look back at now and we'll analyse, but at the same time we know, as much as it's 170 runs or whatever loss, there's little moments that we can definitely work on and bring it a lot closer, if not go the other way.
That'd be a pretty tough attack on a row, but I think Tom Blundell described it to me after day one as a naughty little pitch. Yeah, pace and bounce here, but that spin's quite unique.
Yeah, look, it's something you probably don't expect at the basin for it to turn like that, and that's the wonder. That's the wonderful game that we play, is there's certain things you can't control, and look, I thoroughly loved it out there to take on some of the best bowlers in the world and test yourself in those conditions. It's good fun and bodes well for heading into the next test.
So what were the plans out there? You know, we all know about the three pacemen, but Nathan Lyon turning it, bouncing it over 500 test wickets. You know, what plans had you devised for today specifically to get through all of those things?
I think that's the thing, is that you look at how they're going to attack you, what are the threats. Obviously we know the bounce and the turn for Lyons, the threat probably with the guys around the bat pad, so it's finding ways to negate that, but also trying to find ways to put pressure back on them, and that makes them hopefully bowl some bad balls in between, and you can try and cash in. And the big quicks, they keep charging in, they keep banging a length, and again it's trying to find ways to keep putting pressure on them at the same time soaking up those good balls in between.
What are you happy with as a team? What do you think you've done well here at the Basin Reserve?
Look, I think the character the group showed in that second innings with the ball to come out and bowl Australia out for, I'm not sure what it was, 150, 160, whatever that was. I think that shows that this group, you know, that we're a bunch of Kiwis, we'll take on the world and we'll stick our chests out and we'll smile and do it at the same time. And, really proud to put ourselves in a position after not a great day two as a group, but for that character to show through of what the Black Caps is something very proud of.
170-odd run loss, 174 to Cameron Green. Got to acknowledge something special, unfortunately for you. You had a pretty good view of it at first slip for long times. What stood out watching him?
Yeah, look, he played really well. I think, you know, obviously the surface, being a taller guy, and he rode the bat with a bounce well, he left well, and he had a little bit of luck along the way as well with a few player misses. So that's the nature of the game that we play, and credit to him, he played really well.
As you head to Christchurch, the spirit's still pretty high?
Yeah, look, really exciting. For me, first of all, to go home and spend a week in my own bed will be nice, but also that, Hagley's a beautiful ground. It's similar to the basin in terms of the grass banks, and we know there'll be a big crowd there supporting us, and we'll get stuck in and we'll see what happens.
We'll beam it back into Australia. For those who don't know, that the surface in Hagley, what's it tend to be like?
I would say it's probably more of one of our quicker bouncier tracks around the country. For me, it's my home ground and a number of other guys on the team, so it's always nice, I guess, getting onto that surface and getting stuck in.
Well, all the very best, Daryl. Do appreciate your time today.
Cheers, thank you.
The thoughts of Daryl Mitchell from the Black Caps. That wraps up proceedings down here on the ground. Oh, stay out here, Jared, sunbathe. It's now a glorious afternoon in the Riviera of the South Pacific.
We'll see you on the beach in a couple of hours. Daniel McCarty downstairs, Adam Collins, Bratson the racer as well. So Australia victorious by 172 runs. The game scores in Wellington, Australia 385 and 164. New Zealand 179 and 196. Australia victorious by 172 runs. Ian Smith and Jeremy Coney, we'll get their final thoughts before we all disperse here in Wellington. What's front of mind for you, Smithy, as you contemplate what's happened over the past 4 days?
Well, a disappointment. Really, giving themselves opportunities by dismissing Australia very cheaply twice, not being able to get rid of Cameron Green. That can happen, but not being able to recover from that partnership between him and Hazelwood. I think they're probably the most galling things for me as I look at a result which is now in a test match which has lasted just not even three days in one session. And that's pretty poor. It's a pretty poor defeat in anyone's language. So, the optimist in me says let's turn the page and very quickly and start looking towards Christchurch. I know Jeremy's been doing some research behind the scenes there on that. But there's too many players who don't look to be in great nick to me. And I'll start at the top of the order. Tom Latham looks horribly out of sorts against the really good bowling attacks. And he succumbed in both innings, and we work alongside him. We've got Will Young, whose technique looks good enough, but he just doesn't produce the big scores. And we've got a situation where, at number three, you don't doubt it. So that's the given. Williamson's the given, and Mitchell's the given. Ravindra is the given. So 3, 4, 5 look pretty damn good to me. Phillips is a given. Blundell's a given. But has to produce a decent score at some point shortly. And then you get into an area where New Zealand have got real issues to sort through. That's the bowling attack. Through injury and through non-performance, they've got a captain who is underperforming at this point. He's down on pace, he's down on production, and slogs out at the end of the game. So, you've got to get alongside Tim South and say you've got to be better than that. You've got to be better than that. So there are massive issues that have unfolded in the last day or so of this test match from my point of view. So who they pick is the first thing they have to consider. But you can't continue on thinking, she'll be right, mate, which is one of the great sayings in New Zealand. She'll be right, Fred Dagg, she'll be right. It won't be. It will not be. And one of the things that's been weirdest thing has been the whole Neil Wagner issue. Had he not retired the other day, had he just been absorbed the disappointment of not being picked, he would have been playing in Christchurch. Out of default, almost, he would have been playing in Christchurch. What do they do now? Because to call him out of retirement after 3 days, it's almost embarrassing, Jared. It's almost embarrassing.
I can't see how we could have, though, two of our bowlers bowling less than 130 Ks against the Australians.
No, you can't.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think that's possible. I mean, there is almost a case to say Southee as well. If he wasn't captain, would he be selected in the side? I mean, that's quite a legitimate question to ask. We know he's going to be, because then there's the other issue about it's his 100th test match. And you know, the thought would be that he would go to go to Christchurch and play that, and then we'll look at that issue then. I think Latham, yes, he's not in great form at the moment. I would say a lot of people saying he can't score against good sides. Well, that's their good sides. A lot of people don't score that many against good sides. That's quite a logical sort of thought, I think, from there. Young, I think, yes, he hasn't scored. I'd like to see him get a bit of a run. He doesn't get much of a run in his test match career. Williamson, we know, okay, we had slightly messy first innings from him with a judgment, and in the second ones he's kind of defending or looking for a run very fine, he's out as well. So two failures for him. Ravindra came right in the second innings. I thought he showed he was a bit more organised in the second innings. Mitchell's there. Blundell's there, he has to be. They need runs from those three players. Phillips, of course, kind of almost exceeded people's expectations here with the ball, certainly, and he got that one innings. I agree with Smithy in the sense that then we get into real issues about who are we going to select as the bowlers. Some names. Well, if Henry's there for a start and Southee's going to play, there's two. Who's the third seamer? And really, if you look at the history of Hagley Oval at Christchurch, spinners don't go particularly well. I would be a bit uncomfortable if they pick Ravindra and Phillips and then throw in Mitchell Santner. I think that would be a bit weird in the circumstances of when we look at that. So I think Sears will become into it. He's a quick bowler. Duffy will come into it. He's a seam bowler, more like Southee. And I don't know who they're going to look at else.
The Australian side of things, Smithy, you've plotted this team across the five tests at home and now the first one here. There are clearly issues in the batting order, but they are finding a way, just one player to cover, they're taking it in turns.
Yeah, apart from the West Indies, though, Jerry, they're compensating by winning. Oh. You know, so they've got no issues compared to what New Zealand have. They've proven players, all of these. The biggest question mark was Cameron Green. Well, he's answered that, hasn't he? You're never going to drop Steve Smith. Marnus is probably a bit of an issue, but you persevere with Marnus because all around him is propping him up at the moment. If you were losing, you'd have issues to talk about. You've got no issues. One of the great things about this Australian side is continuity of selection and fitness.
Yeah, they don't
stay fit. They don't break down.
No.
You know, if they get an injury, it's because of a contact injury, muscular-wise, back-wise, etc. They just keep on going. Six consecutive test matches now without even a doubt about who's going to play in the next one. And to me, there's no doubt about the starting 11 in the next one either, unless someone falls off a golf cart or gets hit on the head by something, I don't know.
It will be the same.
It'll be the same team again. And that is a luxury in its own right. But it's also a testament to the fact they've got confidence in their preparation, they've got confidence in their daily preparation, their long-term preparation, and they've got confidence that the right outcome will be there because their processes are very good along the way.
It's partly a case, I think, that they don't play, all their players don't play the three formats. Stark doesn't play the shorter formats game. New Zealand play all the formats. They need to because they don't get paid the contracts that the Australians might get over there. And so they want the money as well, the players. And that's understandable in a way. But at the same time, then we are getting, you know, injury problems.
So decisive victors here in Wellington. Can I say to both of you, it's been a great honour to share the last four days with you, to bring out broadcasts together. What a thrill. So I've loved it. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you, Jared. It's been a pleasure for us too. I can admit that,
Ian Smith and Jeremy Coney, our New Zealand captains. We're not quite finished here in Wellington. Colo's got them some thoughts. Daniel as well. Grant Elliott will offer his assessment as to what's happened and what comes next with the second test to come. But for Jared Waitley, Ian Smith and Jeremy Coney, with a big thanks to our travelling producer, Mitch Scott. We bid you a farewell from Wellington.